Good morning, everyone. We give God the glory and honor for what he's doing in our church, especially through this series. It's been a wonderful series in the sense that we're tackling issues that sometimes you don't talk about in church, but that's what God is doing because that's the world we're living in today. So I will be concentrating on Jeremiah chapter 29. And our topic today is our future in this fragile world. Our future in this fragile world. And if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Jeremiah 29, and we will look at verse 11. And we will keep coming back to this chapter. But the key, as we are talking about the future, is in this verse, which says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." This scripture, I came to know about it in 1978. I had become a Christian in 1976, and in 1978, through the Scripture Union, I was made a leader, and we were fasting, seeking God on a problem that I didn't even understand at the time in the school, because, you know, people wanted us not to be involved in SU and all that, so we said, let's fast. So the leaders, those who were before me, were praying, and as we were praying, I felt like reading my Bible. So I had a very nice Bible. It was called the Good News Bible. I can remember how golden it was at the time. That was my first Bible ever. And then I opened as people were praying, and I opened straight to this scripture. And I felt like I should read it to this team. So I read it. And in the Good News Bible, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you. Plans to bring you prosperity and not disaster. Plans to bring about the future you hope for. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, to bring you prosperity and not disaster. And plans to bring about the future you hope for." And immediately I read this, everybody was clapping and said, "The answer has come." I couldn't understand. The answer has come. In that, whatever we were going through at the time, God knew the plans. And actually, in the end, when we broke the fast and all that, we went to see the authorities and everything was okay. And so when I was asked to preach, I thought I was going to preach on faith. And I checked, and it was our future. I went to Baba Musala and said, "Baba, you made a mistake." He said, "No, that's what we are preaching on." And immediately my mind went back to the scripture again. Because it says, "I have plans for you to prosper you. A plans with hope and a future." And so in this time, this morning, the time that I have with you, in an introduction, I would want to go back to the things we've spoken about, just to paint a picture of how fragile this world is. And then I will give a glimpse. In the midst of all this, I try to do a bit of research to find out where is the future for this world, this fragile world. So I will just give a glimpse. I'm not going to say everything about it all, but just a glimpse on the hot topics, the hot things that are being discussed at World Economic Forum and things like that. And then also, I want us to go back to this scripture and see what the future holds for us, we as the people of God, because that's what we are looking at, our future as the people of God in this fragile world. And then finally, I will conclude by saying there is a future with hope for us. Amen. And so, my brothers and sisters, as we all know, we've been going through this. And in January, we started it off with Musala leading us, and the topic is robust faith in a fragile world. And, we trying to see different issues that shows the fragile world we are in and how it can be tackled with the help of God. And so the key issue is addressing crucial issues to help us live a genuine non-fragile relationship. Have non-fragile relationships with one another, and also to be committed to relationships in the Lord and be rooted in Christ, because it's shaky grounds. When things are fragile, they can easily break. And we ourselves, if we are not careful, because of where we are staying, we might not be robust. So it's supposed to help us so that we will be able to even do social justice, the work of helping one another. And I was so touched when Brenda was emotional looking at what God has done for us. Because there was a time, each one of us, if we know the Lord, we were far away and God drew us to ourselves, but now we are enjoying without others. So we're supposed to have relationship with others and peradventure draw them to God. So Musala took us through the whole question of the millennials, because the children that are being born these days, the age that we have is called the millennials. And one thing I want us to know is that we were thinking of other people, but we all behave like millennials. You know, somebody told me that if you look after mad men, you begin to behave like bad men. Because you have to tackle them, you shout at them, and so it becomes your behavior. I remember one day, one of my children, we went and we saw a baby, and I was, he says, "Daddy, you are not speaking right." Because all of a sudden I'm speaking in, you know, a female voice and talking to the baby, because I have to behave like a baby for the baby to respond. Sometimes when we work with a group of people, because we don't behave like them, we are not able to draw their attention. So what I'm saying here is that though we were discussing about the millennials, in one way or another, we are all millennials. And he mentioned, and that's a key thing for this discussion, that there's shallow relationships. Relationships don't last among the millennials. And us as well, every one of us. These days we don't lay emphasis on millennials because of things that we have around. On relationship because of the things that we have around us. Also, commitment to family is fading away. That's the whole thing. And there's a fluid sense of identity. Sometimes we don't know, I don't know whether I'm here or there, so there's a problem there. Faith in the word of God or in something is becoming elusive. And I remember the next point he looked at was, do all roads lead to Rome? That's the world we are living in now. That anything holds. You don't necessarily have to come to church to be able to serve God. There are some people who are born again, they know the Lord Jesus, but their fellowship is with TV. Because that's it. That's what they feel they can have a relationship. So things are changing in this world that we are living in. One thing though about the millennials, that they have a deep sense of social justice. They want justice. And so that's some of the things. Besides that, we also looked at the whole issue of the impact through Gary and Christy. We looked at the impact of digital gadgets in our lives. And we remember that these days we spend more time, especially me. If I'm not on my phone, I'm on my laptop or tablet or something. Sometimes the whole day I forgot that I've not eaten. I've been looking at this thing and working and working and working. So more and more, there's no relationship. So that's one issue that we have in, and we looked at the issues that bring about this with social media, smartphones, selfies, and all other issues related to the digital world that we find ourselves in. We had done to come here to look at issues of social justice, or the issues of justice, or favoritism. Sometimes we are all getting there. I will become your friend if I provide what you want. What about the other person? If Jesus was to come here in rags, are we going to accept that? We looked at all those things. So this is the world we are living in, and I hope it's painting a picture for you to see this fragile world. From your own perspective, no matter how old you are, you will be able to see how fragile this world is. And we had Kurt also leading us about genuine faith. In the midst of all that is going around, where is genuine faith? Because faith is becoming diluted. If you can make it easier, free for all, people will come in. But when you give the true gospel, it becomes a problem. And of course, last week, we looked at identity and sexuality, whereby Craig spoke to us about the whole issue of, in those days, all we knew, I was filling a form on the internet about 2 weeks ago. I want to attend a conference, and they came to a part where you have to show who you are. There were about 5 items I had to choose from. For the first time I saw, it's not just a male or a female, but others. And finally they say, you don't want to declare. It's fine. So things are changing. That's the world we're living in. And so it's important for us to know this picture so that as we talk about, we are able to make the right decision and root ourselves in the Word of God. So that's my introduction. And in the midst of all this, we need to know that our God is in control of His world. Sometimes if you are not careful, because of what you are going through, you may think, some people say, God is sleeping. God never sleeps. He never slumbers. He is in control of His world. And we will see as we go along. So now, the question then is, if this world is fragile, then what is the future of this fragile world? What is the future? What are people saying about the future of this fragile world? And I want you, if you have time, just Google about the future of the world today. And you will see the things that are going to come. There's a lot, but I'm not going to go into area, but I just want to just go into one particular area called the fourth industrial revolution. That's where we're going. That's where we're going. And this is where scientists have put all things together, being it biological, being it physical. They put everything together to a point that the key ones is going to be what they call artificial intelligence. We've been seeing adverts on TV, but we haven't yet, some of us have not, we've just seen it, but we haven't thought about it. This is where the key one will be. We will have robots or toys or artificial something leading us and helping us. And that's a big thing. There's a whole study that is going on in most of the universities. I'm sure those of you from Canada and America and other big universities, artificial intelligence is one of the areas that we are getting into. In a nutshell, what will happen is, or what is happening even now in some places, that we have robots doing manual work. That one we know. In some factories, you have robots there, and they do it faster than a human being can do. So that's the world we are in, and gradually we're going in, whereby there's replacement of human beings in certain aspects of life through artificial intelligence. More and more, vehicles are being manufactured with computerized drivers. Either you use a robot to drive it, or it's able to go through the use of GPSs and other things, mapped its way, and I don't know how they're going to do it, but I understand it's already happening. Driverless vehicles. And that's where life is going. Life is going. Artificial intelligence. They have drones. You know, in those days, you used to have a remote control, and there's an aeroplane that is going. Now, these things can go far. They are using it. Some are using them as a way of delivery of parcels and things like that. In fact, I was reading an article, except I couldn't have time to check into it, whereby they are manufacturing things that can take human being. It's a drone that can take maybe a baby or somebody of a certain weight and take them somewhere and controlled. You just program it to take it to somewhere it wants. I remember about a month ago or 6 weeks ago, I went fishing, and these guys came. They had their drone, and they put the bait and everything, and I was just watching them. And this thing started taking the hook and everything, and there it goes. It goes. I said, what is going on here? It goes and drop it in the deep ocean so that they can get a big fish. Things are changing. Things are changing. And that's how life is going. There's the use of already in the aeroplanes that we are riding in these days. There's a part that is controlled by software. It's a programmed software that controls. And on Friday, there was a discussion about this Ethiopian Boeing 737 MAX 8 that had a crash. And what they were discussing is that they've identified one of the problems was that one of the software got muddled up. And that's why it went down. The possibility. They are discussing all other possibilities. But one of the possibilities they are saying is that the software didn't function well. And so in the discussion, I could hear the presenter say, we are in trouble because of the failure of this specific software. The pilot was, he couldn't do anything. Because the software is not functioning, and that's because of that, it has to land wherever you are. And so there are a lot of things that are going on in the midst of all this. The major worry that has come up in this, as the experts say, are in five areas. The first one is the human agency. When they talk about the human agency, it means that we come into a point where individuals are beginning to experience loss of control, like in the case of the aeroplane. I mean, is this thing that is taking control and is done in such a way that you don't know what is happening there. You don't understand it. It has been programmed for you to use. And a lot of computer, for example, some of us are end users. If something goes wrong and you see something coming, there's nothing you can do until you go and call somebody. I remember when I was a child, most of the vehicles, if something goes wrong, you get somebody, we used to call them a fitter. He will come and fit. He will just open up, look at this. These days, it's plug and play. If it's not working, take it out and buy another one and put it in. There's no one to sit. And I remember when I came to South Africa the first time and I learned how to use computer, I managed, because I was always on the point of fixing. If something is wrong, I will fix it. And I did it. And by God's grace, I got some bags because if you go to buy a new one, it's more expensive. Then I learned how to fix it. These days, there's no time for fixing. So if things go wrong, you lose control. You don't know. There are things that are thinking for you. And that's where this whole question of artificial intelligence comes. The second one is data abuse. Most of us are sitting here. We have a lot of data. But we don't know where it is. We've saved it somewhere, but who has access to it? And what the experts are saying is that there are two main keepers of this data. Either they are kept by businesses for profit purposes or by governments for power purposes. You as an individual, you have nothing. And so when this data is in the wrong hands, what happens? There's what they call dependency locked in. It's the same as when I spoke about the whole question of human agency. But this time, what is happening is that you have machines argumenting for what you used to do. The very things that you used to do is being done by a machine or through artificial intelligence. So the question is, what becomes the use of you? And that's what is going to create mayhem. Because you're sitting, you don't know what to do, and you are frustrated, and that will cause problems. So, if we look at, I'm just outlining some of the problem, but there's a lot of advantages for us. I mean, it's there to help us. We can now travel in a day from here to Tokyo. We can go all over the world, and the advantages are more, but there are problems. Especially if this data or something goes wrong with this. And so, a picture is created here, whereby we see that we are in this world, a world that is robust, a world that is fragile, and a world that you see yourself as having problems. But then, what does the Word of God say about our future? Especially those of us who have put our faith in God, in Jesus, or we have faith in God, what is the future for us? And that is my main thing I want us to talk about this morning as I look at Jeremiah 29. In Jeremiah 29, something happened from verse 1 to 14. The people of God have sinned against him. And the prophet Jeremiah is saying, we've done wrong. Let's go to God so that he could fix it for us. And in the midst of that, I think there's a prophet called Hananiah. He comes and says, no, everything is okay. No, what Jeremiah is saying is not right. And so he deceives the people. Instead of repentance, they didn't. And what did God do? God takes them to Babylon. God allowed Nebuchadnezzar to come and take them in Babylon, where they are now foreigners. They are living in a strange world, like us. We are living in a world we don't have control. We are living in a world that is being controlled by someone. Can you imagine someone is in charge of the weapons? What happened in Christ Church? He goes crazy or whatever. He picks and comes and shoots everyone. So that's the world we are living in when we have good things in the hands of wrong people. Anything can go wrong. And so the people of Israel are now in Babylon in a strange world. And remember, Jim Rutt wrote, this world is not our home. We are just passing through. All of us, if you know the Lord, this is not where we're going. Eventually, we will be with God. Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God and believe in me also. In my Father's house are many mansions. So eventually, we're going to be with the Lord. But we have a future for us in this life as strangers. And that's what we are looking at this morning. So quickly, let me go through this. So now Nehemiah, after these people are in, they are in Babylon, the prophets among them are saying, oh, it's well. Don't worry. In 2 years, we're going home. It won't be long. We will be going home. And Nehemiah says, no. You guys, you can't listen. God has put you there to help you. Now you are still thinking you're going home tomorrow. Let me write to them. And he writes this. These are the words of the letter that Nehemiah, the prophet, sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders of the exile and to the priest, to the prophets and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This is after King Jeconiah and the queen mother, the eunuchs, the officials of Judah, and Jerusalem, the craftsmen, the metal workers had departed from Jerusalem. Can you see the quality of people that are now in exile? The letter was sent by the hand of Elasa, the son of Shaphan, and Jemariah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, the king of Judah, sent to Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. It said, and this is what we need to take note of, that says the Lord of hosts of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Verse 5, build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their fruit. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters and multiply there. Do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile. And pray to the Lord for its behalf. For in its welfare, you will find your welfare. That says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. Do not let your prophets and diviners who are among you deceive you. And do not listen to the dreams that they dream. For it is a lie that they are prophesying to you. In my name, I did not send them, declares the Lord. For that says the Lord in verse 10, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for wholeness and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. We love that one. But we forget about the preceding ones. And then he says, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you to exile. And so, the word of God, Jeremiah comes and say, people of God, God has a plan for you. Even you going there, the situation you find yourself in, God has a plan for you. And so, accept it as it is. People of God, we need whatever situation you are going through. As a child of God, it has never taken God by surprise. But he will make all things work well for you. It's not easy. Sometimes we don't want it. It's not easy. It's not comfortable that you are in a foreign land. You are a craftsman. You don't have the job to do anymore. But God says, I know the plans I have for you. Just yield to me. And so, he says, when 70 years are over, I just want to suggest something to you. The Israelites had 70 years. Maybe the problem you are facing is for only 2 days. Maybe your 70 years is just 1 day with the problem you are facing or the situation you find yourself in. Or it could be 2 years. It could be whatever it is. God has a plan for you. And when it's over, he wants to draw you to yourself. All that God says, I have a plan for you. I have a future for you. But I want you to come to me. I want to visit you. I want to visit you. And so ask yourself, how is your relationship with God like? Put things right. It will be over soon. And God has something for you. And so he's now drawing the attention to few things. Number one, he says, build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. He says, don't be lazy whilst you are there. Some of us, in fact, even in the Bible, I think 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. During that time, people thought Jesus was coming, so they stopped working. And the Bible says, if you don't work, you should not eat. Some of us, sometimes we are lazy. We've been given a good job, but we don't want to do the job. It's not at your workplace to cast out all the demons in the area. That's not your job. Do it at night. But once you're at work, do the job that God has given you. So don't stay there thinking I'm going home in 2 years. God says, work the land. Prosper. If you don't work, you won't prosper. You know, there are men who are deceiving us. And the Bible told them. They think you can come and claim this, somebody's mercy, this vengeance you are. I remember when I became a Christian, at that time there were some Christians, they would go and stand in their suit. In Ghana, it was hot at the time. They are in their suit and say, I'm claiming that BM. Whose BM are you claiming? Somebody has worked hard. You want to claim? No. Work hard. God will bless your hands, the labor of your hands. He says, I will bless them. He says, plant and eat. You won't go hungry. If you have maybe cabbage and you say, Lord, I've got these seeds, I'm putting it in the soil, bless it, God will bless it. So he's telling them, don't be lazy, do the job and you will prosper. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know one thing. When God says I'll prosper you, he will prosper you. Even if you are in the desert, he will prosper you. Because his desire is to prosper you. But it doesn't just come like manna. He stopped manna. Since they entered the land of Israel, that land, Canaan, freebies stopped. It stopped. No more falling of manna. It stopped. It's time for hard work. Number two, God knows that the enemy will attack families. So he says in verse 6, take wives and have sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters and multiply. The enemy is attacking families. And some of us Christians, we are hearing this nonsense. We don't want to get married and this. No, pray to God. In his time, he will give you your wife or your husband. But put it in your heart that I want to raise families. It's not just because the world is becoming a place where we just, how are you? I'm fine. We are cohabitating. No. God wants families. God wants families. And He will help you. He will provide. As long as you are working and you got a wife, God will provide. Or a husband, God will provide. And so it's important that we build relationships. So God is telling them, even in our time today, He told them then, He's telling us as well. If you want to see the future, we must do that. Then He goes to say, and this really touches my heart. In verse 7, He says, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for its welfare will be your welfare. There are some of us, God has given us a good job, but we are messing it up. Pray for that work to prosper. You will be prosper. You will get promotion. So it's about time. We need to pray for this world we are living in. We are not to mess it up. Some of us, we mess things up. You are in the taxi and you throw it, everything in the street, so that somebody should come and clean. As Christians, we need to learn from this. Let the city prosper. When the city prospers, you will be prospering. And you know what? You are not only to pray, you are a leader among the people. God has put us wherever we are as Christians, as leaders, to lead people to the right way. If you yourself as a Christian is messing it up, what do you expect the others to do? And so He was telling them, pray for the city. Pray for Babylon. So if Babylon prospers, you will also prosper. Some of us, maybe our prosperity has not come because we are messing up where the prosperity is supposed to come. This nation needs prayer. We need to pray for good leaders. If Christians, He says, if my own people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face in prayer, I will heal the land. But we Christians, we are not doing it. We are not doing it. And when things go wayward, we begin to blame left and right. We need to do something. Let's begin to pray and say, Lord, probably at the end of this service, let's pray for this nation. God, change. Elections are coming. Lord, have your way. And He says, I will do it. But I love this one. Verse 8. He says, for that says the Lord, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams they dream, for it is a lie. They are prophesying to you in my name. I did not send them. One scripture that really challenged me in my life when I became a Christian, I think it's in Matthew 7:21. He says, on that day, people will come and say, did we not prophesy in your name? Spoke in tongues and all that. But He says, I never knew you. I never knew you. People, in these last days, because we want to see miracles, people will do miracles, fake miracles, and we'll be clapping for them. I'm telling you, that's the situation we find ourselves in. It was then, there, it is there. Even in the time of Jesus, there were false prophets. True word of God, we don't want to listen to. We want to hear what, that's what the Bible says. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, says, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears that will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off. People don't want sound doctrine. The word of God. No, look, you're going to have another car. Oh, hey. That's what we're looking for. You have 6 cars. For what? For what? People, there's a lot of things happening and we need to ensure that we are not deceived. He told them. That's your future. If you are not deceived, you're on the right course. But if you get deceived, it will catch you up. It will catch up with you. And so, it is important that we are aware of what is happening. So the situation of Israel is similar to us. But as I conclude, Jeremiah comes and says, For I know the plans I have for you. Says, plans to prosper you, to bring prosperity and not disaster. I'm using the first Bible I used. You remember? Good news. It says, I alone know the plans I have for you. Plans to bring you prosperity and not disaster. Plans to bring about the future you hope for. That's God speaking. Can you imagine? President Ramaphosa comes. Rob, I have a plan for you. He's the president of the country. Plans for you. And plans to make sure that everything, you know, I'm going to give it to you. You'll be excited. You know, we saw your website, your workplace and all that. We realized you need this. I have a plan for you. In South Africa, we make plans. You remember that? Even when we are having braai, no, there's no charcoal. Oh, okay, we'll make plans. God says, I have plans for you. And that plan is to prosper you. Plans with hope. With hope. People of God, this year, when we started the year, God gave me this word. And I've been sharing with CCP, that's in Romans 15, verse 13, where it says, may the God of hope, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and grace, sorry, and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will abound in hope. Look, God wants to give you hope for the future. God has, I used to tell CCP people, if Father Christmas is coming and he's holding the bag there, you know there's a toy in it. But when God is coming with his bag, he says, a God of hope, he will give you hope for the future. People of God, let's plug into God. No matter what you are going through, God is able. And in many places in the word of God, he brings out. He says, in this world, you shall face tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome. He knows, he's the one leading us, and he will take us on. And in Proverbs 23, verse 17, it says, let not your heart envy sinners, but continue in the fear of the Lord all day. Surely there is a future, and your hope will not be cut off. So, God has something for us. In the midst of all that is happening in the world, the situation we are going through, let's call on God. If it is job we don't have, let's call on God. If it is disobedience in the family, let's call on God. Sometimes there could even be a curse in the family. God has power to break those curses. Because God, the Bible says, Jesus became a curse for us. And I'm not sure what you are dealing with. I want to assure you and encourage you that this morning, no matter what you are going through, there's a future for you. But we need to come before God and he's going to help us. Shall we all stand together? I want us all to pray for this nation. Let's pray for South Africa. That God will come through. Because he said in his word, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, I will heal the land. I will heal the land. Shall we just pray for South Africa? Father God, we thank you. Thank you, Lord. Let's all pray. Let's all pray because the welfare of this nation is our welfare. Do it for us, Lord, we pray. In the name of Jesus, come in your power and help us. Oh, Lord, we call on you. Thank you, Father God. Father in heaven, I want to thank you for what you have in store for us. Lord, we thank you for this nation. You've brought us this far by your grace, and you will not leave us alone. And so I want to pray, Lord God, and say, help us with these elections coming. Lord, we of late we hear of people, even children, killing other children. Lord, this is beyond us. And so we say, come through and help us. Lord God, help us. Bless us as a nation. And let your presence and power lead us. We want to commit these elections. Lord, if there are some people who have planned bloodshed, we come against it in Jesus' name. That this will be a peaceful election. That, Lord, you yourself will select leaders for us who love you. And so, Lord, as campaigns go on, let your peace come. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. And before we close, we'll be closing soon. Rob will close for us. But please, if there's something that you know in your heart about your future, there's something that worries you about the future, there's something, we can pray with you. It could be that at the moment you are not working. And because of that, it makes you think, is it going to work? Are things going to be okay? Maybe there's sickness. That's your 70 years. There's sickness. There's something that is worrying you. The doctors have said something. And it's worrying you. God is in control. He's got a future for you. That will not take away, whatever you are going through now, will not take away the future that God has for you. And I want you to come. We want to pray with you.